says there is no such thing as a conflict that can't be ended. And former Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell is pledging his full effort to bring peace and stability to the Middle East. A leading Christian Zionist, meantime, is expressing concern over President Obama's appointment of former Senator George Mitchell as the special Mideast envoy. AFN's Jim Brown has that story.
Palestinian negotiator Saab Erekat tells AFP that President Obama has a genuine commitment to pursue Mideast peace from day one. His newly tapped Mideast envoy is no stranger to such peace efforts. Former Senator George Mitchell led a commission appointed by former President Bill Clinton to find ways to bring an end to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Former Republican presidential candidate Gary Bauer, who serves on the executive board of Christians United for Israel, says Mitchell is not the right man for the job.
George Mitchell has a reputation on his previous work in the Middle East as being even-handed between Israel and the Palestinian extremists. And for me, that means the appointment is bad, because I don't believe we should be even-handed between Israel and the Palestinians. I think Israel is our only reliable ally in the Middle East. I believe that they are right in this ongoing war that has been waged against them.
Bauer notes that although the 2001 Mitchell Commission report called for an end to Palestinian terrorism, it also recommended that Israel halt all construction of new settlements in the West Bank. I'm Jim Brown.
Meantime, President Obama says the U.S. will always defend Israel's right to self-defense.
America is committed to Israel's security, and we will always support Israel's right to defend itself against legitimate threats.
The president made his remarks during an address to State Department employees. Defense Secretary Robert Gates said the question of how to close the Guantanamo Bay prison camp while also protecting the safety of the American people is a challenge that we will continue to face. Gates says he believes there are ways of dealing with that challenge, but there's a lot of work to do in the meantime. He spoke after President Obama signed an executive order to close the detention center within a year. A Florida school banned distribution of the Bible. We have details in this report from Charlie Butts.
World Changers of Florida was denied the right to distribute the Bible in the Collier County School District. Matt Staver of Liberty Council is handling the case.
The school district said that the Bible cannot be distributed on Religious Freedom Day. It had been distributed on Religious Freedom Day for the past several years, but this time they changed their decision and said that it would be unconstitutional to distribute the Bible in a public school to willing recipients who wants to receive the Bible.
However, other items are distributed at the schools for secular events.
This particular school says that everything goes, but the Bible is banned. The Bible is essentially treated like contraband, where it was once the central part of our educational system.
Liberty Council has written to the school district outlining the Constitution and court decisions that demonstrate the error in school officials' decision. I'm Charlie Butts.
A House Republican leader says although life may be losing in the nation's capital on the 36th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, he believes life is winning in America. Indiana Republican Congressman Mike Pence delivered a speech on the House floor urging Americans to never relent in the defense of life. Pence, the chairman of the House Republican Conference, reserved floor time for 12 Republicans to give remarks on the eve of the 36th anniversary of the legalization of abortion. He expressed optimism about the shifting attitudes in America on abortion.
It is accurate to say that life is losing in Washington, D.C., both in our judiciary, among a pro-abortion majority in the House and Senate, and now with the election of a pro-abortion president of the United States. But let me say with confidence that while life may be losing in Washington, D.C., I believe life is winning in America. Despite the best efforts of the pro-abortion movement to defend abortion on demand, more Americans embrace the sanctity of life today than ever before.
And that's a look at news to the hour. For the American Family News Network, I'm Allie Martin.
In this day of economic uncertainty,
fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah, called Jesus in the West. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today we're continuing our study in the Book of Psalms. Last time we left off at Psalm 11, so I'm just going to jump in there today, and we'll see where the Holy Spirit leads us from there. Psalm 11, chapter 11, and verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. In the Lord put I my trust. Let me see, I've got the wrong version here open. I need the King James Plus version. There we go. In the Lord, in Yahuwah, the name, of course, of the Creator, in the received text, put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, and they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Yahuwah in his holy temple, his throne is in heaven, his eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord, Yahuwah, trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous, Yahuwah, loveth righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright. And that's a nice short one there for you. Psalm 12 and verse 1, to the chief musician upon Sheminith. And of course there with the Sheminith, some words in the King James Version, they did not translate. If we were to translate it into English, it would say, to the chief musician upon an eight-stringed instrument, or a lyre. I guess that's how you say it, a lyre, lyre, lyre. Yes, it makes me think of a lawyer when I say lyre. Yeah, that's just the way my mind works. A psalm of David, help, Yahuwah, help, Lord. For the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. I was listening to the news before the broadcast, and it's a, if you could see my fingers, you'd see the quotation marks going up. It's a Christian news service. And I noticed that what the Christians seem to be concerned about is whether they allow the Bible in public schools, whether they allow you to have free speech about Christmas, whether you're, and about, and this particular story was about how the NFL was not going to pursue churches for having football parties in the church, and that they could have, they could show NFL games on a football screen, I mean on a football, on a television screen larger than 42 inches in the church, and they would not prosecute them. Well, of course. Why wouldn't they allow idolatry in the church, especially if it's a worship of men in little tight suits running down a field chasing a ball? Why wouldn't they allow that? Isn't that why they do it? Isn't that why they have it? So that they can be worshipped for the great feats and strength of men who still play children's games as adults and get paid millions of dollars for it. And they're going to allow them now to watch it in church. And yes, they said it's okay for the church to take donations because it's a not-for-profit 501c3 corporation. Vanity! It's all vanity. I watch the news on occasion, not every day, and Then they have these talking heads that come on, and all they talk about is sports. And they just try to say it as many ways as they can, but they're like a babbling brook. They have nothing new to say. They tell you 10 different ways how men dribbled the ball down the court and threw it through a little hoop. And we're supposed to get excited about this, right? That they do this day after day after day. It's like you're going to see something new. No, they're still men, grown men, dribbling a ball down a court like they did in high school or grade school. Or they're still men running down a field in tight pants, chasing a pig-skinned ball, trying to get it past a line. On and over, the vanity continues. It's all vanity. It's all worthless. It's meaningless. Now, men, if you want to go out in your yard and you want to play baseball with your children, do it. Play with your children. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. But what does that have to do with watching grown men and spending your days in vanity? They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. That's right, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. Did you see the ball, Gabe? Oh, yeah, what's his name? Really threw that ball. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he ran around them bases again. Uh-huh. And it's just the same thing over and over and over. There's nothing new. It's all vanity. It's all worthless. And now it's okay to bring it in the church. Yes, that's right. And you can put it on a big screen TV and everyone can sit in the pews and watch it. Yes, behold your new gods. Men with tights running down a field chasing a pig-skinned ball. Abomination. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, with a double heart. They do speak. Yes, they are double-hearted, they are double-minded. Yes, they'll praise the Lord and then bring in the big screen TV and praise the men in tights with a double heart. Yahuwah, the Lord, shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, with our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith Yahuwah. I will set him safely, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of Yahuwah are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And that's what we have to look forward to. Well, he will preserve us from this generation forever. At the same time, this generation, they think that they have it over us. And they may persecute us. They may trot us down. They may get their vanity into buildings that feign Christianity, that feign true religion. Yeah. But you shall preserve us forever against this generation. Chapter 12, verse 8. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. And, wow, you know, there's a nice, short, sweet verse there. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. And that's what I see today in the nation where I live. The vilest men are exalted. They hold all the high places, and the wicked walk on every side. And what happens when the wicked walk on every side, when the vilest men are exalted? Well, the people of God are persecuted. Chapter 13, verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. How long wilt thou forget me, O Yahuwah? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Do you ever have those feelings? I know there are people out there that have those feelings. There are those that are in prison today. They have those feelings. They feel these things. You know, we are flesh and blood. And our emotions are a gift from God. the difference between the man of God and those that put their faith on that him. Yes, they feel those things, but they're not ruled by those emotions. They may even express those things, feeling them very deeply. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, Yahuwah, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. You see, even though we feel the pain of our persecution, of our trials and our tribulation, we are triumphant. Because, as the psalmist writes here, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. We know we have his salvation, and it will be forever. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Chapter 14 and verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Yes. And they teach it in the textbooks. And if you don't believe it, they think that there's something wrong with you. If you don't believe what they teach in the theory of evolution, if you believe that God created the heavens and the earth about 6,000 years ago, why, you must be insane. You must have a mental disorder. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's how they say it. And they teach it to everyone. Because the fool that says in his heart there is no God, he thinks that the more people that he can get to sing that song with him, there is no God. Yes, evolution. We evolved over millions of years. They're singing their new song, you know, the new song to Satan, whatever lie, just so they don't have to be accountable to their creator. So they say in their heart and then they teach it. And if you, well, if you teach your children at home, you keep them out of public school, well, they don't like that, and they might come after you for it. If you don't pump poison into your children's veins, like they require to enroll them into the public school system, and let's call it what it is, their public school temples, under the tutelage of their pastors, teachers, who will teach them things like, we all evolved from apes. And the apes evolved from a slime that crawled out of the ocean after it rained for millions of years on the rocks. And everything, way before that, everything was condensed into a tiny little dot, smaller than the period on the page that they printed on. And one day the little dot exploded, and voila, here we are. Only it took billions of years. Billions of years, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Yahuwah looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy, and there is none that doeth good, no, not one. For all the workers of iniquity, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon Yahuwah? So when he says, he looks down from heaven, and he sees that they're all gone aside, of course he's not referring to his people, because he says, these people that have gone altogether become filthy, there are none that do good, they none have the knowledge. They eat up my people, he says, as they eat bread, and call not upon Yahuwah. They don't call upon the Lord, their creator. Why should they? He doesn't exist. There is no God. We all evolved from apes, and the apes evolved from something that crawled out of the oceans after it rained for billions of years on the rocks, and the prebiotic soup was formed. And voila, out sprung something. Oh, not only that, two of them sprung out, one male and one female. What a coincidence, huh? Yeah, so their theory makes no sense, but yet they want to believe it. They believe the lie. Yes, they know the truth deep down. They know the truth. But they delude themselves. They want to believe a lie for only one purpose. Because it makes them feel better about continuing in their sin, in their disobedience to the Creator, in their thefts and their extortions and their persecutions of those that are righteous. It makes them feel better about it. They call not upon their Creator, Yahuwah. There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when Yahuwah bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. And the ultimate release of captivity, of course, was when the Messiah shed his own blood. And he gave up the ghost after saying, "It is finished." The veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, putting an end to the sacrifice as prophesied in the prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks. He shall put an end to the sacrifice in the middle of the week. Shall confirm the covenant with many for a week. He did all of that. And he descended into hell. He died. He laid down his life willingly. And when he went into hell, he saw everyone there that had ever died. And they were captive. But there were those that trusted in him. There were those who by faith looked forward to the Redeemer promised to Adam and Eve by their high priest. The Redeemer was there. And those that trusted in him, they were in a compartment in hell called paradise. That's right, paradise, where they were comforted. While those that didn't trust, they were across on the other side in this place called hell, where they were tormented day and night. That's the story. That's what Yahshua said. And I believe him. I believe that story was true, see, because why would the Messiah, who knows everything, have to make anything up? I mean, it's always better if you can tell a true story, isn't it? Well, he didn't have to make anything up. He did tell parables. You know, he drew illustrations, and that's fine too, but I don't believe that he was speaking a parable when he was talking about Abraham's bosom. I think he was talking about an actual event that happened. But there they were, the captives, in Abraham's bosom, paradise, that compartment in hell, waiting for the promised Redeemer, all of those who worship the truth. And he set the captives free. Hallelujah. Rejoice and be glad. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. You can go over there. Take advantage of the resources. Please do enjoy the Bible studies there. I think that you'll find the Bible studies, starting with Genesis, to be very refreshing. One of my favorites that I've done is the book of Proverbs. Malachi was very interesting too. So if you want to hear my favorites, you could start with Proverbs. But do definitely go back to Genesis and go through those with me. Okay, we'll be back after this short break.
None of us here.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world. At very competitive cost, Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958. And he takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. To hear the whole story, not the hard sell, you're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
The border. We're continuing our study here in the Psalms. We've got all the way to Psalm 15. Yes, chapter 15 in verse 1. A Psalm of David. Yahuwah, Lord, it says in the Authorized King James Version. Of course, we know in the received text, whenever we see the Lord, or we see the 3068 reference number from the Strong's Hebrew and Greek concordance, we know that that is the name of the Creator in the received text. So Psalm of David, Yahuwah, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. And is that a spelling error? But what does that mean? Disesteemed, despised, contemned, to think to scorn. So not a very common word there. It's C-O-N-T-E-M-N-E-D. It's kind of like condemned, but contemned. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, disesteemed or despised. So we are to despise a vile person. But he honoreth them that fear Yahuwah. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. And there it is. You know, you make an agreement. You say, I will pay thus and thus. And you find out, I made a bad deal. That's right. I'm going to lose. But you gave your word. So you don't change. You change not. You keep your word, even if it costs you something. And, well, that's the wicked don't do that. If they can change deal afterwards, and I've had plenty of people do that to me, come back to me, and even though they gave me their word, I like on one price for something, but then they come back and go, well, golly, I can't do it for that price, and they change the price on you. Kind of like that. But who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. You know, a lot of people, in dealing with people, you find that they don't really speak the truth in their own heart. They lie even to themselves, or they omit facts, perhaps if they have a contention with someone else over whatever, for whatever reason. And yeah, they'll speak the truth, but they'll omit facts to make the truth sound better for them, to make themselves feel better about what they're doing, and to condemn someone else falsely. Whereas if they spoke the whole truth, the other person might be vindicated, and then perhaps they might not look so good. They don't speak the truth in their own heart, and they don't even see what they're doing. It becomes obvious after a while, as much as you try to explain to them what they're doing, they just cannot see it. And then you realize they don't speak the truth in their own heart. They backbite with their tongue. Yes, they're backbiters. Plenty of them out there. I have my detractors. Nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Now, there's a few out there that love to take up a reproach against me, regardless of the facts. It's like what they're doing to pastor over there in Arkansas, taking up a reproach. You see them in the chat rooms all the time. That's all they do, is they take up the reproach, even though they know nothing about it, or have really no way of knowing the truth about it. And I say, well, you know what? Maybe the man did something wrong, but I don't know. I can't take up a reproach against him because I don't have enough information. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But it's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. So until they come out with the proof that he did, until the evidence shows beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is guilty, I cannot take up a reproach against my neighbor. Verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. Who do you honor? He that sweareth to his own hurt. Okay, we got that. He that putteth not, verse 5, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Putting out your money at usury. You know, in those days they had real money. And money could be anything. You know, you loan your neighbor a pound of grain and you say you have to pay me back 1 2/10 pounds. So you're collecting 2/10 usury. So usury and money, of course, money was substance. Scriptural money, biblical money is substance, because a just weight and a balance is one of the biblical principles we find on money. So money was substance, but now we have something a little different going on. We have phony baloney money, where just by virtue of holding it in your hand, you're being charged usury. That's right. You get a dollar, you work for a dollar, and you go out and you can buy, say, a whole ounce of this widget for a dollar. Doesn't matter what it is, it's just for illustration. But then, a month later, say, you can't buy a whole ounce with that dollar. You can only buy 0.8 ounce. Well, you've been charged usury by virtue of holding the dollar. And it's because a dollar is a measure, you know, it's like an ounce is a measure. A dollar is a measure. A dollar of gold would be so many grains of gold. A dollar of silver would be so many grains of silver. And that's what a dollar is. It's a measure in grains of money. But now it's changed. They've changed it because most people didn't understand what a dollar was. And they changed it into paper. And now, if you're holding their money, their dollars of nothing, because the dollar measurement doesn't measure anything. It's a dollar of whatever you believe it is and whatever you can get for it. That's what it's a dollar of. That's the measurement of it. And it's losing value all the time. So you keep it in the bank and they give you 5% interest, but the waning value of it is greater than the interest that they're paying. So you see what a terrible predicament they put people in. And if people have taken this money, because if people refused it, of course they did outlaw real money, didn't they? They'd put you in jail unless you turned in your gold and silver money. It's tyranny. And that's how they developed this usury system that we have today, where all money is loaned into existence and the value of it is ever changing. So we have a monetary system that is a total abomination. So it's hard to apply this today to the monetary system we have, because a lot of people say, well, it's wrong for you to put your Federal Reserve notes in the bank and collect interest on them because of this verse. But actually, you're losing all the time, because while they're paying you 5% interest on the money you have in the bank, at the same time, they're devaluing it at 10% or 20 or 15 or 20%. So you're actually losing. So there is no usury for you, because their usury is much greater than the usury they're paying you. That's what a racket, huh? So anyway, chapter 15 and verse 5, David says, "He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, taketh reward against the innocent." Well, there's plenty out there. If you rat on him, if you agree with us, we will keep you out of prison. See, that's a reward. Staying out of prison, that's the reward. That's the one they offer most times these days. We won't come after you. Oh, yes. First they threaten you with, 50 counts of whatever. And then they say, but if you turn state's evidence against this man that we really tried to get after, well, we'll keep you out of prison. Well, there's their motivation. And if they don't fear God, they'll go for it, because they don't fear God. And if they're weak and thought they feared God, well, maybe they'll forget the fear of God and deem greater the fear of man, forgetting the words of the Messiah said, "Fear not them that can kill the body, but him who can cast both body and soul into hell." Yes, we need to keep our eyes on things eternal. But he says, "He that putteth not his money out at usury, nor taketh a reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things," and that is, doesn't practice usury, doesn't take a reward against the innocent, "he shall never be moved." And I see some good examples of that today. I see people that are not moved. It's but come what may, they're not moved. Prison, they're not moved. They're steadfast. They're steady as a rock because they're standing on a rock. And they know that rock will last forever. We're in Psalms chapter 16. Mitch Tam, of course, an engraving that is technically a poem. A poem of David. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto Yahuwah, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee. Oh, that doesn't make sense. Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Yahuwah is the portion of my inheritance, and my cup, thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord, Yahuwah, always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart be glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Yeah, he will not leave our soul in hell. We discussed that about Abraham's bosom, that a compartment in hell being a place of comfort. And we know it's a place of comfort by that term, Abraham's bosom, where we are comforted. Of course, we no longer remain in Abraham's bosom since the Messiah came and set the captives free. Our visit with hell, like his, will be very short, because when we descend into the grave and death sees the blood of our Messiah covering our sins, not going to see our sin, going to see the innocent blood of the Messiah who never sinned. And death will say, well, I have no God. This one's not mine. Not mine. He's looking for those that are not covered in the blood of the Messiah. Those who have not received the pardon for their sins. That's what death is looking for. Those are the ones that death is going to keep. And so we can say with the psalmist here, the prophet, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Yes, you know, our bodies may rot in the ground, but his never did. But he won't leave our souls in hell. And at the last day, when the trump sounds, we will be raised up, and this corruption shall put on incorruption. Verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Chapter 17 of Psalms, Psalm 17, a prayer of David. Hear the right, O Lord, attend to my cry, give ear to my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Of course, feigned means fraud, deceit, deceitful speech, that goeth not out of feigned lips. In other words, I'm not pretending. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence, and let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Have you purposed that your mouth shall not transgress? Yeah, I have to admit that I grew up and my father was a man of perverse lips. He cursed all the time. And I'll tell you what, that affected me greatly. And everything that I heard come out of his lips came out of mine so easily. And it's something that I can still struggle with today. but I purpose that it will not be so, like the psalmist here. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Men, women, whoever you are, listen to the words that come out of your mouth. Are they of faith? Are they profanity? Judge every single word that comes out of your mouth. And that way, you can be purposed that your mouth shall not transgress. You start by listening first. And if you really listen, because most people don't, they just let it fly. And then they think nothing of it. But I'm saying listen and judge the words that come out of your mouth. And it's by judging the words according to His truth, according to His righteousness, it's by judging the words that come out of our mouth that we put to death those things that are not in conformity, that we allow His word and His law to be written in our minds and in our hearts, so that that only is what comes out of our mouths. What are you saying to your children when you get angry? What comes out of your mouth? When you lose patience, what comes out of your mouth? Listen carefully and judge every word that comes out of your mouth. And then carry that over to your thought life. We need to judge every thought that runs through our brain. And you know what? We'll find out that a lot of those thoughts, a lot of those evil thoughts are our own. And some of them are not our own. Some of them are whispered to us by the enemy. But we need to judge them and say, not a good thought. Yeah, I'm kicking that one out. I rebuke that thought. And we can clean up our minds and we can clean up our mouths. And we can be an example. And yes, you know, if you're in a family, fathers, and you learn from your parents, as I did, wicked things poured out of your mouth, wicked thoughts reigned in your mind, and now you're starting to see them. The Holy Spirit is convicting you. You're starting to judge the thoughts of your mind and the words that come out of your mouth. And your children have heard these things. You know what? You need to repent in front of them. You need to take them aside and say, hey, you know how I used to say this? I don't want to say that anymore because I know that hurts you and it affects you. Let's pray right now about that. Humble yourself in front of your children. And you know what they'll learn? They'll learn humility. Repent in front of your children. And you know what they'll learn? They'll learn repentance. It's a wonderful opportunity. See, all things can work together for our good and for our own children's good. So you parents out there, you fathers, whatever, humble yourself in front of your children before God. Repent for the things that they have seen you do. Repent for the words that have come out of your mouth that were contrary to His righteousness. Repent in front of them and you will teach them repentance. And that can be a beautiful thing. Because it's only pride that would stand in your way. Think about it. Pray about it. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Psalm 17, verse 3. Verse 4. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, that thou savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of thy eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, Yahuwah. Disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men, which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life. And that's it. They have their portion in this life. And that's the end of it. Chapter 17 and verse 14. They have their portion in this life. That's all they have. This is all the goodness they're going to experience. Because all good things are a gift from God. And in the place where they're going for eternity, every good thing will be withdrawn. Very sad. Where were we at? Oh, yes. They have their portion in this life. That's all they get. I really feel sorry for these people. Because, yes, you know, I am so glad for the joys and the happiness and those things that this life has to offer. You know, the sweet voice of my children and my grandchildren and the pleasures that this life has to offer. They're all a gift from God. But like I said, for those that don't receive His gift of forgiveness of sins, everything good will be removed from them forever. And could you imagine life or an existence forever with no good thing whatsoever? It's a fearful thought. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back after this break. Stay tuned for the news.
There is none.
There is none.
There.